This is Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, May 18th. I'm your host, Jared Petty, alongside from IGN, the true mother of dragons, Casey DeFreitas, and her Kind of Funny debut. Woo!
I didn't think I did an applause. Thanks, guys.
Ah, you got to get the applause, definitely. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Jared. I'm super excited.
Very glad to have you here. Folks, you're from IGN. Yeah. What do you do there?
So I'm an editor, and specifically I'm on the Wikis team, which is what Jared used to do at IGN. I worked with him when I was a freelancer there first. And then I took his spot when he left.
Yes, she killed me and took my place.
Yeah, it was actually all me. It had everything to do with me.
Absolutely. She ascended much as the Atreides ascended Mordib through the tribe of the Fremen. So also did you. There we go. We got to have that. But in addition, you're also on GameScoop quite regularly there.
Yeah, I have been on there quite often. I've been there on GameScoop the last 2 weeks in a row. I've been on NBC the last 2 weeks in a row. I've been making a lot of appearances. I've been on the Fortnite show.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're kind of all over the place there.
I don't know how I'm handling it.
You're doing it very, very well. And we're happy to have you here today Kind of Funny Games Daily. And we're happy to have you here, friends. If you want to watch live right now, like some of you are, you can do it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you want to watch later on YouTube, you can watch it at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you want to tell us we're wrong while the show is going on, if you're watching live, go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and let us know what we got wrong. If you want to support the show, you can do that at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and we hope you will. But right now with a little housekeeping. Hey, Greg's out of town. He's at Judges Week. Guess what? Tim's gone too. So stuck with us again. You know what? It's all
it's
right.
It's pretty empty.
It is quiet here right now. It is. We got Kevin over there. We got cool Greg. We got Andy around the corner. And I think Nick's asleep somewhere. That's who's in house right now. Where's Joey?
Something went wrong with her car or something like that.
Oh, oh no. I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, that's not
I
good.
I was excited to see Joey today.
Yeah, I was
another day.
She may be here at some point.
Let's hope Joey shows up eventually. Also, this episode brought to you by 4Hymns, but we'll get to that later because right now it's time for what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Casey, 8 items.
Okay. A baker's dozen
on the Roper Report today. 8. It's a packed day for news. First story. From IGN.
Hearts. Yes.
Kingdom Hearts. We're going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. While we've gotten our first chance to actually play Kingdom Hearts 3, Square Enix is yet to reveal when the game will finally be released. Thankfully, it sounds like we won't have to wait long to find out the long-awaited sequel's release date.
Finally.
Long-awaited.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to remember when the first Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer actually dropped. I mean, you must remember it. It's a Field of Keyblades. Mm-hmm. That's mostly all I remember. But I'm pretty sure I was in high school.
High school?
Yeah. I mean, it was right after Kingdom Hearts 2, right? Like maybe a year.
And you've been in this industry for a while. So that was a bit ago there now.
That was a very long time ago.
Field of Keyblades, by the way, that's the name of my new band. Speaking to journalists, as part of a demo presentation of Kingdom Hearts 3, which IGN attended, franchise director Tetsuya Nomura teased he and his team plan to reveal Kingdom Hearts 3's release date in just a couple of weeks.
Yep.
So this is an announcement of an announcement.
Yeah. And we also, so Jonathan Dornbush, our news editor, also got hands-on. I'm super happy for him. He loves Kingdom Hearts. He's a huge fan. So I completely trust him when he says he's excited for it and it plays incredibly well. He says if they told him that this was a final build, he would believe them.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He was that impressed by it.
He was.
So Johnny D, friend of the show, we love Mr. Johnny D, we love Mr. Dornbush around here. You and him have talked about this. You've looked at this preview a little bit. Mm-hmm. What did he walk away from really excited about?
Man, the gameplay and combat is really polished and really fun.
The combat?
Yeah.
Really? That's interesting.
He says that it was, the preview specifically was very combat heavy. There wasn't a whole lot of story. He said that Xehanort makes an appearance.
Oh.
But that's about it. So we don't get more lore or anything out of the preview, but he did get a really good impression of the gameplay and combat. And he says there are a lot of Final Fantasy summons.
Oh,
which
that's right.
I'm
that's
really
right. The
excited.
Dissidia toys, right?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
worked in Dissidia toys because it's Toy Story World.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they have Final Fantasy summons for Dissidia toys. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
And it also looks amazing. This is going to sound ridiculous, but one of the things that impressed me the most from watching the video was the hardwood floors of Toy Story.
Yeah, in Andy's
house. Yeah, they just look so real. And it's kind of incredible at how far we've come in games that we can now create Toy Story.
Well, I remember playing the early Final Fantasy 15 demo. Do you remember that? That was set, you were like a toy, you were shrunk down in a house.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And I wonder how much of that fed into that, you know,
oh, man,
what
I
fed
wonder
each
if that
other.
Was that.
Yeah, because likewise, that had very impressive floors, I remember, and that as well. Toy Story World, you excited about it?
Yeah. Yeah? Yes. Man, it looks great. It looks just like the movie.
You know, it's funny, thinking back to like N64, that was like, that was what we were going to get, like Toy Story graphics on PS2 or Toy Story graphics
but
on N64.
They weren't really, but now they really are.
Yeah, that's
right. But I'm definitely, we were actually just speculating, oh, Kingdom Hearts isn't actually coming out this year because it's been such a, it's such a myth at this point. And then we just learned that we were getting, hands-on gameplay, and now we're going to get a release date next month, possibly at E3, right?
It almost seems impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually happening.
Do you think it'll
really
be at E3?
Is this a dream?
Is it a dream? There we go. If it's going to be, do you think it'll be E3?
I think it definitely will. I mean, considering this preview build that the judges have been able to play so far, so it looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think they would bring that at E3 and give other people the opportunity to see how wonderful it is, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
So I hope I'm able to play at E3, and I hope it re-inspires me to go back and replay some of the old Kingdom Hearts again so I'm ready, because most of my Kingdom Hearts knowledge has fled my brain.
Okay, it has been
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Men have been born, grown old, and died since the last Kingdom Hearts game. So, number two on the Roper Report. Pokemon, I believe this is from Nintendo Life.
Yes.
All right. So, in a series of tweets today, Game Freak employee James Turner revealed a sneak preview of a new educational manga recently released in Japan, detailing the history of Pokemon creator Satoshi Tajiri, pardon me, and information from the early days of Game Freak. The book, called Satoshi Tajiri, The Man Who Created Pokemon, was written for Japanese elementary school children and will be the first in a series of comics that introduces kids to historical figures. That sounds awesome. A photo tweeted by Turner shows a page of previously unseen Pokemon concepts from Red and Blue, despite claims that most of the documentation about the first two Pokemon games either never existed or was lost in time.
And I think that is why this is so surprising. I don't think anyone expected to get never-before-seen documents from Pokemon Red and Blue in a children's book.
Yeah! How does that happen?
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, why haven't they shown us this before? But I totally implore you guys to go and look at this. Some of the creations are really cool, and it's really neat to see kind of what went into it. You see a bunch of different Pokemon in squares, and the ones that they ended up using are circled. And some of them are crossed out. There's like an old Spearow sprite that I guess they didn't. It kind of looks like Spearow that they maybe not used. Hmm. But one of the Pokemon is a kind of shark that has an anchor as a tail. So it's attached to it with a D-ring, like as an anchor.
And we've never seen this Pokemon since, right?
No.
They never did anything with it.
No, and we've seen shark Pokemon and we've seen anchor Pokemon, but we've never seen an anchor shark Pokemon. And then there's a sprite. I can't even describe it. It just is so outlandish looking.
Yeah.
It's on the top of that image. But if you go and look that up, it's really cool. And it's always very interesting to see the insight that goes into behind choosing the Pokemon that actually get added to the games.
Yeah, you wonder how that process, Pokemon vetting must be an incredible process.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have far more pitches than you can cram into a game. Even a game as vast as Pokemon. I like to imagine, do you ever watch The Price is Right?
Yes.
Okay, so you remember the big bank vault game, right?
Yeah.
Where you have the bank. I imagine in my head that in Kyoto, Nintendo has a room like that.
Of all of the rejected Pokemon.
And inside are all the rejected Pokemon and all the prototypes and all the builds that never got released. And it's this wonderful, I'm sure it's actually just a filing cabinet in the basement. But I really like to imagine there's this giant room like that that contains all these. You know, apparently there were versions of like the original Super Mario Brothers theme that were rejected.
I want to hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to hear it.
There are several other Mario themes that never got used from the original Super Mario.
Oh, man.
Because they were trying to tweak it and tune it. Mm-hmm. I want to hear that stuff.
Yeah.
And this is like that being released on like a children's like album or something.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're like, one day we're just going to give you this.
I also really love the fans' reactions to this because a lot of people are making fan art of the sprites of like what it would look like in the art style of Pokemon today.
Oh, that's
and
rad.
It's really interesting seeing what everyone comes up with from these really tiny sprites that you're getting in this book.
I really hope to see some more of those featured. I'd love to see that fan art.
Yeah.
That's kind of audacious. Story number three, just a quick one here. This one from GameSpot. Ubisoft's new AAA game. Yeah, I said Ubisoft again, not Ubisoft. Sorry, folks. I like to say Ubi, even though it's wrong.
Okay, I was like, is that? Okay.
It's ubiquitous software, so okay. It should be Ubisoft.
You're right. That does make logical sense.
But I like Ubi's more fun, so I'm going to say it that way. Ubisoft will announce another AAA game soon. The Assassin's Creed publisher announced today that it will have three AAA games coming in the current fiscal year, which ends March 31st, 2019, including The Crew 2 and The Division 2, as well as an unannounced game. Ubisoft said it expects the games to combine to sell 19 million units, which compares to its previous forecast of 23 million unit sales across four AAA games. One of those games, Skull and Bones, has been delayed to the next fiscal year.
Oh, no.
We talked about that yesterday. Aww. Skull and Bones got delayed.
Yeah. That's okay. I am excited to play that game.
I think they may have looked at that other pirate game and gone, maybe that we should put some more stuff in this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that makes complete sense.
Which explains the downturn in sales projections. So, what's that game going to be, Casey?
Isn't there an Assassin's Creed game every year?
Seems like it happens a lot.
Most years there is an Assassin's Creed game, so I'm assuming it's some sort of Assassin's Creed game.
What do you think it'll be? Where do you want the Assassins to go next?
Maybe a spinoff of the recent Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah, you want to stay in that time period, stay in that world?
I think it's very interesting, and I mean, I think it would be kind of ambitious for them to come up with a whole new world within a year, but they've done it before, so who am I to say?
Okay, but that you think it may be an Assassin's Creed game. That's your guess?
Yeah, it's my guess.
I'm guessing Steep 2. You heard it here first.
Steep 2?
I like to make fun of Steep on this show for
no good
reason.
I don't even know what that is. Oh, no.
Now, Steep is their big budget skiing game that's actually very cool.
Okay.
But that they spent 20 minutes at the end of an E3 conference once talking about as their big giant reveal. And was the most Ubisoft thing anyone's ever done to spend that much conference time on a game about skiing down a hill.
Maybe it's a Just Dance game. No, they come out with that every year, too.
They do come out with that. I think we can count on a Just Dance game.
Yeah.
And good for them. Those games are cool.
I really like those games a lot. They're fun.
I'm always up for some dance. You a dancer?
No, but yeah. I can just dance.
Can you just? All right. So what's your, like, your Just Dance style?
I just do what they do on the screen.
Yeah.
And I wave my Wii. So the trick is to shake whatever you're using at the beat. So pay more attention to when you're shaking your apparatus than to your actual moves.
Are these Just Dance Power Gamer tips?
Possibly.
You are a guides writer, so that makes a lot of sense.
I'm very competitive, and I like to beat my friends.
You heard it here first. Casey DeFreitas likes to beat her friends. Okay, there we go.
In Just Dance.
Number four, IGN reports Devolver Digital E3 conference. IGN, you've heard of those folks, right?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a very fun and zany conference last year.
That Devolver Digital?
Yeah.
Devolver Digital will be hosting a fancy, big fancy press conference for E3 2018. The press conference will be held June 10th at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time, or June 11th at 4 a.m. UK. You know what? We're not going to do all these. Anyway, it's going to be live via Twitch. So June 10th, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Devolver Digital promises this year's conference will feature, quote, actual game reveals, end quote. But it's also warned viewers to expect blood and possibly loss of life. The publisher held its first ever E3 conference last year. And you watched that? You were talking about it?
I did. I don't remember anything that I want to say about it now.
Okay. Except that it was fun. You remember having a fun impression of it?
Yeah. It was very interesting, and it was enjoyable to watch. And I'm pretty sure it also had actual game reveals last year. Well, so I don't know why they put that in quotes.
Well, yeah, because Devolver's whole thing is kind of snark, right?
I mean, I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
I definitely appreciate it. And I mean, Blood and Possible Less Loss of Life isn't always good, but I'm excited to watch it.
To see what? Okay, there we go. Devolver's done some neat stuff this year. I keep talking about how much I enjoyed Minute. They published that. A delightful game, which if you haven't given it a look yet, that's $10, very well spent. Minute, M-I-N-I-T, great little game. Devolver did that. And
genre is that game?
I don't know.
Huh.
And that's part of what
weird?
I like about it.
Okay.
It's an action game, like a top-down action game where you die every 60 seconds, no matter what you do.
Okay. No, wait. Okay. I have played that. I know what that is.
You played Minute. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I played
that.
Yeah, I like Minute. I thought it was neat.
It's really neat. Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what they have to show off this year. So now you know you can watch a press conference all about it. Moving on through the Rip Report from GameSpot, PS4 update and Xbox updates. A new PlayStation 4 update has landed, but it's not the type that adds new features or functionality. Version 5.55, which is mandatory, quote, improves system performance, end quote, in unspecified ways, according to the official patch notes by Sony on its website. From a different story, but also from GameSpot, a new Xbox One update is out for everyone now and adds a number of notable features and improvements. Starting off, the May Xbox One update introduces the ability to link your Discord account with your Xbox account to chat with friends and see what they're up to. The new Xbox update also introduces support for the 120 kHz refresh rate for 1080p and 1440p output resolutions on Xbox One S and Xbox One X. Of course, you need a monitor or TV that supports 120 hertz for this, but it's a nice option to have if you're after it. I think I said megahertz earlier. It's actually hertz. High refresh rate support can provide a smoother gaming experience and lower latency on some displays, and games may benefit from reduced tearing and stuttering via 120 hertz output, Microsoft said. Also new is in the update is the ability to trim game capture videos from within the guide. Previously, you had to boot up Upload Studio, and that could take a little while. The new update also includes family settings improvements in the form of details page that collects all relevant family settings.
That is a really beefy Xbox update.
There is a lot going on in there. Anything about this interests you?
Definitely the Discord compatibility.
Yeah.
I've been kind of running into this problem. So I have both an Xbox and a PS4, but most of my friends are on PS4. So that's generally what I use. So I'm using the chat there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also sometimes want to play cross-platform with my friends on PC for games like Fortnite, and they use Discord. But I don't want to have to deal with getting both groups in the same thing and have the PC going or my phone. And then all. But this seems like it would fix that problem. And I want that on more platforms.
Microsoft's partnership with Discord, real smart move.
Yes, yeah. 100%.
Real good idea there, because the ability to play with your friends over vast distances is kind of something that they pioneered in this industry. They really made that easier than anyone ever had.
And then Halo 2 was one of the first games that I played online.
Yeah. I played a lot on PC online, but it was always, you know, you were sitting there literally with Roger Wilco trying to make stuff work, and Microsoft just found a way to smooth that whole thing. Mm-hmm. It looks like they're making another play in that direction. Smart for them. From US Gamer, Square Enix goes AAA shooter. People Can Fly of Bulletstorm and Gears of War fame have two new studios and a AAA shooter in the works with Square Enix. Square Enix announced a partnership with People Can Fly last year and said the two were working on a new game. Now we know the type of game the two companies are working on is a new AAA shooter. Previously, People Can Fly released a remastered version of its cult favorite shooter Bulletstorm in 2017 and co-developed Fortnite with Epic Games. Before that, People Can Fly developed Gears of War Judgment as Epic Poland. People Can Fly, independent once more after being bought by Epic Games in 2013, turned into Epic Poland, announced a new studio in Newcastle, UK, and Reszno, Poland. I hope I'm saying that right. Both cities have strong video game and tech hubs in their local regions, and the new studios are filled with veteran talent from studios like Ubisoft. While we haven't heard or seen this new shooter, we're interested in checking it out when officially unveiled. A Square Enix AAA shooter is pretty unique, and if there's anything People Can Fly knows how to do exceedingly well, it's shooters. Thoughts on this?
Final Fantasy Battle Royale. I'm kidding. 100%. Whoa. But
no, do you want Final Fantasy Battle Royale?
No.
No, you don't want that. All right.
But I mean, it would be pretty funny, right?
Well, that's what they're bringing him in to do.
That would be mind blowing. But I don't think that's going to be it.
If
but,
there's a Dissidia Battle Royale where I can play as Odin the Chocobo from Final Fantasy 13 3 Lightning Returns, I'm totally okay with that.
That'd be adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, yeah, we'll get into Battle Royale later on the show as well.
You can't talk about news and gaming right now without Battle Royale coming up. But yeah, I mean, these folks have worked on some pretty big projects. Mm-hmm. And Square Enix, not the first name we associate with AAA shooters, I think.
I'm excited. A lot of Square Enix games are very story-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see what kind of interesting story can go along with this AAA shooter.
Yeah, like the Wolfenstein 2 effect. I mean, obviously you can pull it. It can be done.
Yeah, it can 100% be done. And it's been done many times before. But Square Enix specifically, I really respect them for their storytelling.
Rad.
So.
Next story from Twinfinite. DS Remastered may fix Blighttown. Dark Souls Remastered looks to run a lot smoother than the original when it releases later this month, specifically in the frame-late slowing Blighttown, as shown in a video released by Digital Foundry. The video shows Blighttown being explored in the original version of the game, running on an Xbox 360, an Xbox One, and an Xbox One X, using the One's backward compatibility. The original is then compared to the upcoming remastered version. Blighttown has been notorious for running poorly, being difficult enough to get through without the drop in frame rate that historically comes with it. Now, we're not going to read this whole thing, but what this comes down to is, for those of you that have played Dark Souls, you'll remember the joy of Blighttown and its delightful 12 frame per second moments. And, you know, FPS can sometimes be an overemphasized part of gaming, but when you're trying not to be beaten to death by something horrible in Dark Souls, it's very, very difficult to get that timing right. Blighttown is this kind of, well, blight on an otherwise marvelous action-adventure game. What they saw in the Digital Foundry video was that running on some platforms, I believe the specified PlayStation there, looking at remastered, they have already seen evidence of Blighttown running silky smooth.
For the first time ever.
For the first time ever. That's exciting. Yeah. So you were not a Dark Souls player, but you're a Bloodborne player,
right? Yeah, I played Bloodborne. I mean, I play Monster Hunter, which also kind of relies on you reacting immediately in real time.
Yeah.
So when dips of frame per second lag because of internet connection, it's one thing. But if it's just built into the game, I can't imagine how frustrating that is, especially with a game like Dark Souls. Like, as you said, your timing is super important to not die. One hit could just mean that the fight's done.
Yeah.
It's not forgiving. You need those frames.
You do need them. As a Monster Hunter player, how was Bloodborne for you?
I like Bloodborne a lot. It took me because I had never played a Dark Souls game before, it took me a while to realize I had to go back to pick up my souls, because the game doesn't tell you that.
The game doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah, no, it doesn't tell you anything. But once I got the hang of it, I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was cool and challenging in a real way.
Yeah.
It wasn't artificially difficult, and I really appreciate games that do that.
I think those games are spectacular. And I've often, that when I tried to describe Monster Hunter games to people that hadn't played them, I was trying to just imagine Dark Souls with a whole lot of people running around and bigger. And I realize that's not accurate.
Yeah.
But there are that timing similarity in the way you move.
And also, Monster Hunter came first. So Dark Souls is like Monster Hunter, not the other way around.
There are two, like, Monster Hunter nut friends I have. You're one of them. The other's a guy named Strawfoot who runs a YouTube channel that I really like. But I love the passion that comes out in particular. You're right. So pardon me.
I'm sorry.
Dark Souls like Monster Hunter. Yes. Been here since the PS2. There was no. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Now I'm just like Kingsfield. We're going to jump back to that. All right. Let's not go down there. Instead, let's talk about a really weird story from US Gamer that actually I'm pretty excited about, and so are you.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for this.
Today, during the third Inside Xbox show, 343 announced a new partnership with Raw Thrills on a new Dave & Buster's arcade game called Halo Fireteam Raven. Set during the events of Halo Combat Evolved, the arcade experience developed in partnership with Halo Stewards 343, players will jump into an arcade pod, which, according to this article, can fit four people. They will play as ODST soldiers fighting the Covenant alongside Master Chief. Similar to those immersive arcade games, players will interact with a large mounted turret gun while the action plays out on a 130-inch 4K screen experience. I'm sure you can name a couple of other arcade rides that follow a similar mechanic. I think the last one I played, this is the person writing the article, was for Jurassic Park, which was also at Dave and Buster's.
You know, that's funny, because I actually also immediately thought of Jurassic Park
when I saw
this game. Yeah, I just remember having so much fun playing those Jurassic Park games at the different various arcades that I would go to, because, I mean, the seats would move, you had the guns, and you had a narrator, and I assume that Master Chief will be that narrator kind of guiding you through the on-rails arcade experience.
Get a little Master Chief, a little Cortana there maybe going on. Yeah,
I am so excited, and I really hope that IGN takes a day trip to Dave and Buster's when this comes out so we can all play it.
You heard it here first. IGN taking a day trip to Dave and Buster's.
It's happening. It has to now.
It's got to now. That's right. It's been declared. It's been announced. Who's your fire team from IGN?
I think me, Sam, Miranda, and, man, I don't know, whoever wants that fourth slot.
I want to come. I want to come.
Oh, yeah.
Can I come play? All right, I'll come play.
It's done.
I'm really bad at
Wiki's,
Halo, but I think
Wiki's
I
Wiki's team.
Excellent. There we go. Oh, that Wiki's Unite. Well, we should probably bring Brendan. He's really good at
Brendan
games.
Brendan is amazing at every game that he ever plays, and it blows my mind.
And then sitting quietly in the back, just looking cool, John Ryan.
He's like, so great.
What's up?
He's a nice guy.
Up? It's like, hey, what's that?
I missed
Oh, John Ryan? Yeah, John Ryan is a, I get to go see John Ryan later today. He's he and I are recording. We're recording Red Dead Radio together. It's exciting.
Yay! I'm so excited for you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Hey.
You going to be on Red Dead Radio?
Maybe some other time.
Okay, some other time. Definitely. Yeah. Well, anyway, rather than talk about that, I think that if we wanted to talk about games that were not new arcade games.
Yes.
And by the way, this is really cool news. But if we were going to talk about games that you could buy and play right now in your home, where would you look, Casey?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
There we go. Did I get it right?
Next time I'll be able to sing the tune with you.
I think it changes every time.
Oh,
honestly.
No, I will never be able to sing the tune with you.
How about we just have you sing the tune next time? Out today. It's a Friday. And this first one you can actually speak to quite a bit.
Yeah.
Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition for Switch.
Yeah. So I actually reviewed this game for IGN. I played a ton of Hyrule Warriors for the Wii U. I was definitely a fan of it. I like Dynasty Warriors type games, which is what this is, as long as I can play with a friend. It really helps with the monotony of these kind of games. But honestly, Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition is probably the best Dynasty Warriors type game I've played.
Oh, wow.
It has a lot of features that kind of remedy the issues that Dynasty Warriors type games have, where there's a ton of different characters to play, and you get to play most of those characters through the campaign mode. I also reviewed Berserk and the Band of the Hawk, which was another Musou-style game, and in that game, you basically just play as Guts the whole time, which makes sense from a story standpoint, but from a gameplay point of view, playing the same character with the same combos for 20 hours in a Dynasty Warriors game with no co-op.
It's just too dull.
No bueno. But Hyrule Warriors doesn't do that. There are a ton of different characters, and you also have all of the characters that are unlocked through the Wii U version are already available in the Definitive Edition.
Okay.
So you play the first mission, and then you unlock two-player, and then you also unlock all of the adventure mode maps, which are my favorite part of Hyrule Warriors, because it's a map that looks like 8-bit Zelda, and each of the squares, you can use items to reveal secrets before challenging the mission there. And you can unlock fairies that are your companions and give you extra powers. You can unlock clothing for your fairies and kind of dress them up and stuff. You unlock new weapons. You unlock new characters. There is just a lot of incentive to doing the adventure mode maps. And they're very nostalgic and way more varied. And the levels are a lot shorter than the story mode.
Oh, cool.
So they don't get as tiresome because 30 minutes doing the same thing can get
a little tiring.
Yeah. But in adventure mode, you have like boss rushes or kill 300 enemies in a certain time or go to this area and answer quiz questions. And it's just a lot better.
Co-op Dynasty Warrior sounds like the closest you can get on a modern console maybe to playing like six-player X-Men arcade back in the day. Like where everybody's just sitting there pounding away buttons for a few hours.
Yeah, kind of like Gauntlet, right?
Yeah, just beating up dudes for a while and it's fun.
I do want a new Gauntlet game.
I'm there too.
100%.
What's your favorite Gauntlet?
Gauntlet Dark Legacy.
Oh, yes.
I played it on like GameCube.
Okay.
So it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of level 99 characters.
Gauntlet Dark Legacy is a surprisingly fun game.
It is.
I'm with you. And any game where you beat things up is immediately more fun when you can play co-op. I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm.
That goes all the way back to the earliest brawlers, the Double Dragon type stuff. It was just more fun when you have a friend.
Yeah, it's so much better. And I do have to add, it is still a Dynasty Warriors game. So if you don't like those kind of games, you probably still won't like Hyrule Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
But the music is really cool, and there are more than 30 characters to unlock. So,
who's your favorite character to play?
Sheik.
Yeah.
So Sheik, all of her different ending combos are different of different elements. So she'll do a fire attack, water attack, thunder attack, and then after doing those combos, the last combo finisher she did, she will play a song related to that. So if the last combo finisher she did was the fire attack, she will play Bellero of Fire, which does another fire effect.
Oh, neat.
Which is really on her harp.
That's kind of
cool. Yeah. Oh, and there's like a Nocturne of Shadows, and it's really interesting and fun, and I like that fan service.
Check out that Definitive Edition. Thank you very much there, Casey. Also available at Out Today, Henry the Hamster Handler for Switch, Little Nightmares Complete Edition for Switch, and Monster Slayers for Xbox One. Monster Slayers, not to be confused with Monster Hunter.
Is that... What is that?
I don't know. That's the answer to that. Let us know what Monster Slayers is, if you have a chance. You can drop that, and we're wrong. It's not a we're wrong, but we'll be happy to check it out at the end.
Let us know. Inform us.
Yeah. The Division 2 will arrive before April 2019. That's one of our new dates. So we do have confirmed the Division 2 arriving before April 2019.
That's very broad.
Yes, it's a very broad date. Sometime between now and April of 2019, we're going to get the Division 2. Also a new date, No Man's Sky's fourth major update Next is launching for free on all platforms, including the next Xbox One version on July 24th. Fourth, the Xbox One version launching with, quote, the full multiplayer experience, and that's headed to PC and PlayStation 4 as well. What do you think about that?
I think that's really awesome, and I think it's going to make me jump back in and play a little bit more.
Of No Man's Sky?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy No Man's Sky?
A little bit. It was one of those games where I played occasionally, and it was relaxing, and it was interesting to watch my friends play while just doing my own thing. It was a nice background game to have going on. But if I could actually play with friends and have a full multiplayer experience, maybe it'll be more fun.
We've got a letter from somebody else who really enjoyed it here. Hello, Kinda Funny crew. As the resident No Man's Sky player, I wrote in the last time that there was news about NMS going to Xbox, so I figured I'd write in again. The news that full multiplayer will be introduced into the game in July is welcome news for those of us that continue to be dedicated to this gaming community. I'm not letting Sean Murray or Sony, for that matter, off the hook for the way the game was launched, but Hello Games is really making the best of a bad situation. So the obvious question is, will we get an 18 quintillion planet battle royale mode on Switch?
No.
I kid, he says. That's okay. That's a good joke. That's a good joke. I like that. I kid, he says. Seriously, though, can we stop using NMS No Man's Sky as a punchline at this point? Thanks for all you do, Tim. I am never a huge fan of dogpiling on things that have noble aspirations and fail. If something's horrible and fails, yes, it's like horrible in a vitriolic way. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, I'm glad to see it go. Even then, I'm not crazy about piling on because there's usually more nuance to a story.
It got really vicious, and it was really sad to go to those the subreddit and to see what people were saying about this game. It was not nice. People were threatening the developers of No Man's Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
No.
It doesn't get anyone anywhere. These are real people. Don't be mean.
It was a bad launch. There was absolutely overpromising going on. I don't know the behind the scenes story that led to it, and people that paid money for this game did have a right to be very upset, but we're a long time past that, and we'll see how this turns out. That's going to be my answer to that.
Yeah.
I was one of the people who actually kind of like that game.
Yeah, no, same. So. Like I kind of like it. It could have been better. I expected more.
Yeah.
But I still liked it.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be, like I said, I'll check it out.
Yeah. Kevin, what's that? Kevin's saying something.
I was saying I love that game.
Yeah,
I put like 60 hours in real quick. Then I was like, oh, should probably turn this off.
I did some wiki work for it for a while, and I enjoyed it the whole time. And when you're doing a wiki, you play quite a bit of a game. So,
oh, yeah.
I had a lot of fun with it. It's kind of like boring Minecraft in space, and that was okay for me.
Yeah, that's a really adequate description.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Although, again, there's that. But then the other thing, if nothing else, that game is that Jurassic Park harmonica video, which is one of the greatest things that's ever happened on the internet. Have you never seen this?
No.
Kevin, do you know what I'm talking about?
I feel so out of the loop.
Oh, my.
Is it the one with the ugly?
It's the one with the dinosaur reveal and then the real dinosaur reveal. Have you ever seen it? That's the best thing that's ever been on the internet.
That's a tall claim, sir.
I know. It is.
Have you seen the video of the dude whose house is like down the stairs? He opens the door and someone hits him with a big red ball?
No, I haven't seen that.
Because that's a pretty dope video.
This is one of the funny. Well, I'm not gonna go too long on this here, but yeah, just Google Jurassic Park No Man's Sky, and the whole video is only like 20 seconds long, and it's amazing. We'll watch this after the show. What's that?
Do you need audio for that video?
Yeah, you need audio for that video. Yeah, so we probably shouldn't do that right now, but we'll watch that later together, folks at home. Take a look. Also on new dates, after a brief stint in early access back in April, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds desert map Miramar is finally headed to Xbox One May 24th. So Miramar coming to that after it just came out on mobile. Microsoft and Rare have revealed Sea of Thieves' first expansion, The Hungering Deep, will arrive May 29th. So new I wonder new what stuff. That'll
be. Maybe it'll be deeper.
Well played, Casey. Well played indeed. Now for reader mail. But before we start that, We're sponsored today by 4Hymns. 4Hymns, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. You know, if I'd have known about 4Hymns long ago, they'd been around when I was a younger man, I might be a very different person today. Casey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm bald.
I never knew. I can't believe that you're revealing this terrible truth live on air.
It's a dark secret that I feel the need to share. Baldness affects many of us across America, across the world, indeed. Many of us are secretly bald, like me. Casey, you have long, flowing locks of hair. Kind of like an awesome hair. You got great hair. I like your hair a lot.
Thank you.
Once long ago, I too had flowing locks. I'd say my hair was every bit as long as yours at one time, but now it's gone. But for those of you that haven't yet lost your hair, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. As a matter of fact, 66%, two-thirds of men will lose their hair by age 35. But with 4Hymns, you can do something about it. They provide well-known generic equivalents to brand-name prescriptions to help you keep your hair. With no waiting room, no awkward doctor's visits, you can save hours by going to 4hymns.com. It's super easy to answer a few questions, a doctor will review, and can prescribe, and the products are shipped directly to your door. Andy and Nick, two members right here of the Kinda Funny family, have both been suffering from hair loss for the last couple of years, and they've been using 4Hymns to help them out. The process was super easy, and they've been going back and forth with 4Hymns trying to find just the right products for their needs, and they're all about it. And they feel a lot better and more comfortable about themselves. Order now and get a trial month of 4Hymns for just $5 today while supplies last. You can see the website for full details. This would cost literally hundreds of dollars if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. So go to 4Hymns.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4Hymns.com/gamesdaily. I'm still teetering from that revelation that I'm bald.
I'm so sorry.
It's been a very emotional day.
It is a handsome look, so you have nothing to worry about.
Very kind of you. Thank you very much. From Philip. Good morning, friends. I have a quick, dumb question for you today, Philip. I promise you a quick, dumb answer. Specifically for Jared. Oh, it's definitely going to be a dumb answer. Okay. While playing desert golfing, do you find yourself tilting your phone in the hopes that it will nudge the ball into the hole? Kevin, you playing desert golfing?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, I tip my phone every time, hoping there are no touch controls or gyroscope controls in desert golf. Not that kind, but it's touch screen, but there's no gyroscope. I lean it every time.
I think that's just a natural response to most people playing on mobile devices.
Yeah.
With those kind of, I remember doing that with my Game Boy and like kind of
really?
Like, oh, yeah. Like nope. Trying to like nudge things. I mean, even if you're playing a racing game, but that doesn't have motion controls, don't you see yourself?
Yep, 100%
turn. Yeah.
Gotta it lean
just happens.
In. So that's the answer to that one. Promise you a quick, dumb answer. She gave a quick, good answer, though. So that's much better. Thanks, Casey. I love this one. Star Fox Battle Royale and Breath of the Wild Battle Royale. Battle Royale pitches. Just think about how cool that'd be. But let me pitch Smash Brothers Battle Royale. Imagine a large 2D map that has multiple rooms. Think of the map for Rogue Legacy. Add 100 fighters, duke it out. And the outer rooms of the map slowly disappear. Last man standing wins. Do you have any pitches for a Battle Royale mode in any game you can think of? This is from Dougster. So pitches for a Battle Royale mode, any game.
I actually kind of like that Smash Bros. Pitch.
Yeah, big yeah. Rogue Legacy rooms.
Yeah.
And then the rooms are just gradually crumbling inward.
Yeah, that sounds neat. And to put in maybe not too many environmental hazards, because I think competitive people would be very upset about that,
mm-hmm.
like tripping. But it sounds like a fun game mode. I don't know how they would do it.
I could see something like that. I like trip. I'm the only person in the world that thought tripping was fun.
Why would you want to trip?
I like randomness. I think that Smash Brothers is something I deeply love, and taking it too seriously is a crime against humanity. It's a game about little toy cartoon animals that fight. I mean, I love it very much. That's why I play with items on.
Yeah, I like. No, you got to do Final Destination for stock fox only, or it doesn't count.
Okay, love it. So what's a battle royale mode you want?
I was thinking Splatoon 2. I have no idea how they do it.
Ooh.
But I trust Nintendo to come up with something.
See, that's really clever because Splatoon is about area control.
Yeah.
Like it's about, so if it were about map painting, as the map changed?
Wow. Maybe just have a really big map, 100 people, and the same exact concept as other battle royales. The map just gets smaller.
Yeah.
But it still takes into account all of your space outside of the circle.
I'm just wondering, like, if you can claim. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
There's a lot that
You can eliminate people in Splatoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's not a very stealthy game, but I think it'd be cool.
I'm going to give a very silly answer here. Mine is take the ridiculously detailed, absolutely insanely focused, ridiculous ASCII game Dwarf Fortress, which is all about spending way too much time managing a giant colony of dwarves across the world.
I think Justin is really into that
game. Yeah, Justin and I used to talk Dwarf Fortress. Okay. I'm a Dwarf Fortress guy too. I want a 100-player Dwarf Fortress Battle Royale that takes a year to play out for a single game. I think that it's all about coming back to your computer and just Battle Royaling some more in a gradually apocalyptically destroyed world where your Dwarf Fortresses are vying for what scant resources remain until and every game is 365 days long.
That sounds really cool for people who like Dwarf Fortress.
Yes. All 10 of us will very much enjoy it.
At least 100.
It might be a problem. If you never played Dwarf Fortress, I'm making fun of it here, but that is a rad game. You said Justin's into it.
I've only heard great things about it.
Oh, it's splendid. There's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. There's never been anything like Dwarf Fortress. It is not an easy game to get into.
On PC?
Yeah, it's a PC game. Once you're in and you start understanding what's happening, it's hard to get away from. It's really, really, really compelling. I think you would dig it.
I probably would. I'm afraid to play those kind of games, though.
It's definitely that kind of game. Hey, Jared and Company. Similar to how Sony took From Software and had them to make a spiritual sequel to their Souls franchise with Bloodborne, what studio or franchise would you like to see Microsoft do the same with? Congratulations on all the success, Jared. Oh, that's a nice thing to say. Thanks, Zuko. Zuko's honor.
So. Man, Airbender reference, huh?
Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Nice. There's a little Airbender reference there. So what do you want? You played Bloodborne.
Yes. It's
kind of a Dark Souls spinoff there. So what's a kind of spiritual success? If you're going to take Microsoft's catalog, all the things that have been associated with their platforms over the years.
My mind, I just immediately go to Halo and Gears of War. Okay. And they've already done Halo with Reach, mm-hmm. ODST, mm-hmm. right? Would you consider those spiritual? I mean,
they're spinoffs, and they're spiritually. I think that. The line between sequel and spiritual successor is kind of weird. Yeah. And spinoff, mm-hmm. all those. But you know what? We're making a game up here, so do what you want.
BioShock is a spiritual successor of System Shock.
Correct. Shock 2, yeah.
Hmm.
So that's a fun one.
What about you? Go first. I need to think about this.
Okay, you gotta think about this one a little more. I want a Crimson Skies spinoff I want a Crimson Skies sequel that I'm never gonna get, but I think a Crimson Skies called Crimson Stars, mm-hmm. That's a spinoff that's set in outer space. It's a starfighter combat game with the Crimson Skies style engine behind it, and it's all about. Not that borderline between flight sim and arcade style space combat played out in the Crimson Skies aesthetic.
Okay.
So it's Crimson Stars. I want that.
That sounds amazing. That's a wonderful pitch. You should go pitch that.
Thanks. just walk in and be like, hey, Phil Spencer, you guys make this Crimson Stars game. I'm all about that. I'll help. I mean, I'm in. Give me a call.
Was Panzer Dragoon Microsoft only?
Panzer Dragoon it's a Sega game and it's been around, but you know what? Let's just pop into Panzer Dragoon.
Honestly,
you want
I just want Scalebound. So can we just get that?
So can you make up a Scalebound like spiritual successor since it got killed?
It's called Scale Done because it's not bound to come out. It's done.
Scale Done. Very good. This is an excellent answer. Why were you so compelled by Scalebound?
I know that the creator from Platinum Games, Scalebound, was a game that he had wanted to create since the start of his career. Mm-hmm. He had just never been able to because of the limitations of tech.
Yeah.
So this was his pet project. This was something that he was incredibly passionate about. And it also spoke to me because you get a dragon companion that you can customize.
Yeah.
It's action RPG. You can play with friends. And then you also fight giant monsters with cool swords. That has everything in a game that I want. Maybe I could use a little bit more customization of your dragon friends.
Yeah.
But other than
customized
that,
customized dragons, always a good thing.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Last time we were in GameScoop together, we kind of went. We discovered we were dragon buddies.
Yeah.
So we both, you love dragons more than almost anybody I know.
Oh man.
I think you love dragons more than anybody I know, except maybe I love them as much as you do or close.
Like, I think that's an adequate comparison.
Dragons are so. That's why I called dragons you the true neat. Mother of dragons at the beginning of the show. I mean, that's absolutely you. Dragons. Why are dragons so great?
Man, there's so much lore behind dragons, and I think it's really interesting that all of the different cultures around the world have come up with their own mythology of dragons of some mm-hmm. sort, and that just blows my mind. And I mean, they have that for a lot of different mythical creatures, but dragons are always revered as one of the most powerful, strongest monsters or creatures, and in the D&D universe, they are not only really strong and terrifying, but they're also very intelligent and have a lot of powers.
Yeah.
And I think it's just... they're just cool to I have this all-powerful being be a friend, which is why Drakengard was so cool.
Oh, we're back on Drakengard
again. Sorry, I'm always going to mention Drakengard and Monster Hunter and everything.
For more on Drakengard, and we'll do an episode of sometime together where we can just talk. But yeah, that GameScoop episode, we talk about that for a long time. But we're both big into dragons. I said there, if heaven is what I want it to be, I get to be a dragon for all eternity. That's all I want.
And dragons can shapeshift into whatever they want.
That's right. That's part of the fun of being mm-hmm. a dragon. Oh, D&D dragons are the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, you chose like a copper or a bronze?
Bronze. Bronze dragon.
Yeah. I want to be a benevolent blue, so I'm cheating because I don't want to be evil. But
that's
I love
okay.
blues.
I mean, there are outliers.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to be an outlier dragon, definitely. No gem dragons, though. We're not going down. We're not touching gem dragons. Okay, guys, bear with me here. It just dawned on me the Persona games are pretty much... just Pokemon games. Adolescent male and female on an adventure end up collecting small monsters that do their fighting for them, can evolve the monster or encourage to catch them all, progressing through an adventure to overthrow a large corporation or a greater power. I'm on to you, Atlas! Throw a coat of Shinjuku colored paint on Pokemon Sun and Moon, and bam, Persona 6. Anyway, I love Persona. I love Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I love y'all. Bye. That's from M or EM.
That's an absolutely adequate comparison.
Adequate.
Yeah.
Adequate.
Well, it's pretty true. I mean, I played Persona 5. It was great. And, you know, it's kind of funny that you say Persona and Pokemon are kind of the same thing. If you really want a Persona Pokemon, check out Digimon Cyber Sleuth. Because it was, the artist is the same as the people who made the art for Persona. So it's a Persona Digimon game.
That's amazing.
And it takes place in Nakano Broadway, which is a real place in Tokyo, Japan.
Yep.
And they even incorporate the kind of lore and
Wait a minute. This game's set in Nakano Broadway?
Yeah. Your office. You're a detective in Tokyo and your office is in Nakano Broadway. And you know there's a bunch of ghost stories?
Yeah, I have been to Nakano Broadway many times.
A bunch of your quests are figuring out these ghost stories and they're almost always caused by Digimon.
Which, I want to play this.
Yeah, it was really cool and it sends you into the digital world and figure it out. PS4.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think also for the PC. It was originally for the PS Vita.
This is absolutely rad.
They recently came out with a second one.
That's freaking rad. Thank you. Is the second one any good? Do you know?
It is very similar to the first one. But a little bit better.
So I think this is a great message also. The only thing I'm going to take umbrage with here is that he says, I'm on to you, Atlas. But really, if we're going to be honest, Mega 10 predates Pokemon by quite a while.
Yeah, it does. It does.
So 100%. Actually, it's Pokemon kind of.
When did the first Persona come out?
First Persona was PlayStation 1. Okay. Right around the same time as Pokemon, but I think it predates it by like a year.
Oh, man. Okay.
I'm not sure that they're right around the same time, actually. Mm-hmm. But the Mega 10 games go all the way back to the Famicom and a lot of the demon summoning stuff and all that.
I mean, Devil Survivor, the only ones I played were on the 3DS, but those were really fun.
Yeah, I think if we're going to talk about the origin of Persona and not just Mega 10 games, Shin Megami Tensei IF, which is a Super Famicom game, a Super Nintendo era game, is probably where Persona really starts, and that absolutely predates Pokemon.
Okay.
So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, Shin Megami Tensei IF has never been formally translated into English. It's an interesting game. There's fan stuff out there. All right. I think we'll read one more mail today. This is an interesting one. Hello, Kind of Funny Games Daily Crew. Oh, this one was actually really long, so we had to cut it down a little bit for length's sake. But hello, Kind of Funny Games Daily Crew. I'll get right to it. On Games Daily, Jared opined that it was the responsibility of games journalists to advocate for smaller developers, so that the broad gaming conversation is about more than just the biggest one or two games in the market. I really appreciated that sentiment, being a developer myself. However, I have a problem with the overall conversation happening right now. See, up till recently, I was a long-standing founding employee of Bosky Productions, which, as we all know, is now defunct. After the closure, there's been the occasional canned or thoughts are with those affected by the layout statement by outlets such as yourself, but the broader conversation is business as usual. In my opinion, and the opinions of those who are now out of work, if you say your responsibility is with developers, then it needs to start with shining a light on the fact that poor business practices and mismanagement led to good people getting kicked to the curb. Thanks for your reading. Deadbeat. Now, we have no way to confirm that this gentleman writing to us is a, or gentle lady writing to us, is a founding employee of Bosky. So I can't actually say for sure that this person is who they say they are, because we receive a lot of messages. But the questions they ask and the issues they raise are relevant for discussion either way. What are your thoughts on this, Casey? There's a lot there.
There's a lot to unpack.
I'm very glad this message makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I think that in what we do, there should be a lot of joy. There should be a lot of enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. But if we're ever too comfortable for too long with what we're doing, that probably means we're not changing and growing. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking right now for people who do what I do for a living. I'm not a journalist. I'm a talking head. I'm an entertainer. I make video essays on Hot Blip Jump, and I make podcasts here and other places. But I'm not a real journalist. However, I do think that I'm privileged to be in a place where I can advocate for the state of the industry. I have not had my fingers, for example, in the long and deep-seated need for unionization in the games industry and the protection of employees from bad situations. I just let that go. There was always something else to do for me because I wasn't the one most directly affected by it. And I have not used this position to the best ability that I could. I'm not trying to sound pretentious because I'm not anybody special, but for some reason, some people tune in and listen occasionally. Mm-hmm. So I think this person has a good point about the fact that a lot of us can become complacent to bad practices. It is no secret that in video games, and I'm not speaking in any way directly of Bosky here, which I have no inside knowledge of. I'm speaking broadly that in certain development studios, no secret that the hours are too long, the work is too demanding, that mismanagement leads to lots and lots of bad things. It happens. Anybody who's worked in this in media for long has seen it. Casey, your thoughts?
I think change is almost always needs to happen in some way, shape, or form in most forms of work. And it is kind of up to media outlets to shine a light on that.
Yeah.
And it can be a little bit, as you said, it can be uncomfortable, and it can possibly invite a lot of negativity. Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of have to get over that fear of the backlash and just do it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think my answer to this shortly is I need to do better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't done as well as I should.
We can do better.
That's kind of what I got right now. That's a trite answer. But I can't give you a systematic plan yet, because sometimes when you're, you know, just like, yeah, you're right. Okay, what next? I can just say, yeah, you're right and move on. Or I can say, yeah, you're right and repent and actually change what I do. Mm-hmm. See how that goes.
Give us a chance.
Yeah, we'll do our best. Squad up. From Mizuki on PC Discord. This is Mizuki number 7650 on PC. I just started streaming this week, and I'm doing a 24-hour stream of Yakuza 6 on PS4 this Sunday to celebrate my birthday. I'm 27 on Sunday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mizuki. Normally, I stream PC games on weeknights. I'd love to have some of the best friends come and come play with the stream or hang out on the chat. I'm probably going to be streaming Paladins, but I'm down to play most games. I can be found on Twitch at twitch.tv/Mizuki. That's M-I-Z-U-K-I, M-I-Z-U-K-I. Mizuki P765. Mizuki P765. Also at Mizuki P765 on Twitter. Thanks, guys. And keep killing it.
Fine. Go play. Happy birthday. Go play with Mizuki.
Yeah, go play with Mizuki. Have some fun. They're on PC. Play. Get in there and jump on and have some fun. Best friends. Normally, this would be the rotating segment where I would get salty. I sometimes get salty on here.
About what?
It depends on the day.
Okay.
People said that I was too positive about everything, and so I try to get grumpy every now and then about some stuff. But today, I'm going to pass the salt over to you because you had a really cool thing you wanted to talk about. Yeah. Because we love dragons, and you're awesome. So please.
Oh, thanks. And I'm not salty, but it's a positive thing. So today, you go to your local game store, you can find a new Dungeons & Dragons book called Mordekainen's Tome of Foes, which is a basically new monster manual that also elaborates on a lot of the different races. Like, there's an entire chapter on halflings and gnomes, and there's a ton of story and background and lore on the blood war between demons and devils, and why devils are actually the world's saviors, because without them, the demons would overtake us all.
Well, there we go. I love esoteric D&D lore. I love it so much.
It's so interesting.
What's it called again?
It's called Mordekainen's Tome of Foes. And it's actually, a lot of the book is, I really like the way that the fifth edition is doing these expansions.
Yeah.
Because they are written by real characters in the D&D universe instead of just a manual. This is written by Mordekainen, which is a very powerful wizard.
By Mordekainen or Bigby?
So Bigby pens it for Mordekainen.
So this,
for most of it.
Like you said earlier, we were talking off set, it's Plato kind of Socrates like, situation.
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. And so you get a lot of kind of like side notes and post-it notes and handwritten kind of snarky comments about these characters. And you also get a ton of new monsters that are all very powerful, like a CR 24 and above of these demon and devil lords and commanders.
And any new dragons?
I did not see any new dragons. I was not able to read through the entire book, I want it really bad.
I was very, very excited. Very excited about that. What do we have here?
But yeah, just to say again, you can get the special edition today on May 18th in your local game stores, but you can get the regular edition on May 29th anywhere.
Let's see what he got here. We got there. You're wrong. Capitalist Pig says Shin Megami Tensei IF, which was released October 28th, 1994, is not officially a Persona game, but more of a precursor to the series as we know it. I know that, but thank you for pointing it out. Let's see. Mexican Vampire Jew says there is. I actually know that guy. He's a really nice dude. How you doing today, man? There is a literally Pokemon-esque Megaten game. It's called Devil's Children. One of the games was released in the West under the name Demi-Kids Light and Demi-Kids Dark. They are on the GBA and DS, and they even had split versions like the Pokemon. So that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. Thank you for that information.
That guy's name, Mexican Vampire Jew, actually comes from a clip from a telenovela.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. There's actually in that telenovela a Mexican vampire Jewish person. That's strange.
Covering all the bases.
Exactly. Let's see. What do we got here? Regarding Pokemon and Persona clarification, Red Blue in Japan was Red Green, which does lead to some confusion about what is said. That's from Capitalist Pig. Let's see. Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth only came out on PS4 and PS Vita, not PC. That's from Ignacio Rojas.
Sorry.
Let's see. What else we got here? That's all right. Yep, from Capitalist Pig, Panzer Dragoon and got its start on Sega Saturn. Yep, Panzer Dragoon. And of course, Panzer Dragoon Saga, RIP. The best RPG none of us will ever get to play again.
Why do Dragon games keep getting canceled?
Well, because the Sega Saturn is an obscene beast that's very difficult to emulate, and there's not enough demand for people to go out and reissue and translate Saga into English again. Well, it's translated, but to bring it, it's a pain. Anyway, I love Saga. Let's see. As a follow-up to Kingdom Hearts 3, according to Arkwing 24, the first official trailer was at Sony's E3 2013 conference.
That's for the PS4. I meant, you know, the first time they said a Kingdom Hearts 3 game was happening.
Yeah. A Field of Keyblades was actually the secret movie at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2. That's from Lord of Pwn. Let's see. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. So it was just a teaser.
Yeah.
At the end of Kingdom Hearts 2.
It still counts as a trailer. Totally. I'm with you on this. Yep. We get from Mike Tyson Kick In, there's not an Assassin's Creed game every year. After the failure of Assassin's Creed Unity, Ubisoft stated they were done with yearly releases. So now Assassin's Creed games take longer than a year to make, hence why Origins 2 came out 2 years. Yeah. Yeah, that's generally been the practice, is yearly, but they broke away from that recently. I do remember that. Let's see, what do we got here? Just okay. We look how wrong we were. Actually, almost everything is about the FF trailer. Oh, from Lucar Wolf, linking your Discord and Xbox accounts merely allows Discord friends to see what Xbox game you're playing. It doesn't introduce Discord messaging to the Xbox systems.
Sad. That makes me sad. There goes my hopes and dreams.
There we go. That's what he says there. Okay. And of course, Tor Del Rey says you can also get D&D books digitally on D&D Beyond.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. So that's fun stuff.
And then you can use an app that will build your character for you, and it's really neat.
Neat. Casey DeFreitas, you have been a delightful guest here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for hosting, and I hope we can have you back soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I'm very glad to. But over at IGN, the place where you do all kinds of amazing things, what can we find and what can we watch you doing right now?
Oh, man. Well, I usually update my Twitter at ShinyKCD. And you can see everything that I'm doing there.
Okay.
Right now, I'm overseeing the Fortnite wiki. I just finished up, mostly it was Brendan's project, but I helped him finish up the God of War wiki. And overseeing some Pillars of Eternity, but I have not gotten to play that game yet, unfortunately.
You spent like the first 4 months of this year writing a Monster Hunter guide, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of spectacular.
I liked it. I did way too much stuff for that game, but I really enjoyed it, and I wish I would keep doing more.
And folks can watch you on Game Scoop.
Yeah. Game Scoop, NBC, Fortnite Show. I'm not a permanent member of any of these shows, but I'm on pretty often.
Yeah, you're on quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching. I have no idea who's hosting Monday. Not a clue.
I assume Tim and Greg, maybe.
I assume it's Tim and Greg.
There's a complete surprise.
There's a 71% chance it could be Tim and Greg. There is a 29% chance it could be Alec Baldwin and Casey DeFreitas.
That's way too high.
There's at least
2%.
There's at least, what's that?
2%.
2% chance? 2%. If it's the 2% chance that it's going to be Drake and Ninja?
No, impossible.
No, not happening. That's not actually going to happen.
Statistically speaking.
Yeah, just not taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
I didn't tell you.